Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of our Lord. When I was much younger, probably around the ages of 9 to 12, whenever my parents asked me to do something for them or a chore around the house, I oftentimes did not reply with a simple yes. I would analyze the request, and I would weigh my options, and I would determine what the best and worst case scenarios were. Usually, that meant for bartering something and for something in return, or negotiating an increase in my allowance. My parents definitely did not have it easy with me, and at a very early age, they were convinced that I was going to grow up to be a lawyer. And I was no anomaly. You all know from your own experiences with children, whether they are your own kids, your grandkids, or children that you have watched for someone else, whenever you ask them to do something for you, they never respond with a simple yes. They try to push the envelope as much as they can and see what they can negotiate in return. I remember reading this passage of Luke many, many years ago, around the age 10 or 11, and I remember thinking to myself, I cannot believe Mary didn't negotiate for anything in that deal. The angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary meant an impending life change for her, one that was sure to cause judgment, disbelief, discord amongst friends and family, even strangers. To a child, as I read this at age 10 or so, Mary's humble and faithful response was unfathomable. Mary's exact words were, "Let it be with me according to your word." They are a direct parallel to what Jesus later prays in the garden as he's preparing for his impending death. In both cases, they are an ideal response to God, and they show a combination of humble faithfulness, obedience, and trust. Mary's unqualified yes, given without any sort of prior analysis of worst and best case scenarios or negotiations, may be unfathomable to the human mind, especially to a child's mind who is used to negotiating for everything. But it illustrates for us the epitome of a deep trust in God. In addition to this humble obedience and trust in God that we encounter from Mary in this passage, there are several other profound messages and insights. And as we delve into this passage of Luke this morning, I wanted us to focus on three of those messages or those truths. The first point that I wanted us to focus on occurs when the angel Gabriel first came to Mary to deliver God's message of this impending pregnancy. Gabriel stood before Mary and began his announcement by saying, "Rejoice, favored one." Well before Mary even had the opportunity to hear and respond to God's plan of this virgin birth, God had already found favor with Mary and had plans to bless her. God's favor and blessing was not dependent on her response. The angel Gabriel began by assuring Mary that she had already been noticed by God, that God had found favor with her and had plans to bless her life. This captures a central dynamic of our relationship with God, that central dynamic being that before we do anything, God has already noticed us, has found favor with us, and has plans to bless us. The second point that I wanted us to focus on in this passage is when the angel Gabriel comforts Mary by saying, "Do not be afraid." Gabriel consoles Mary directly before he announces God's plan for Mary to bear a child, understanding that this message was sure to cause fear and inflict worry upon her. The angel Gabriel assured Mary that she had nothing to worry about or to be afraid of. Again, this is a central message of our faith, and it is one that has reverberated all throughout Scripture. There are numerous instances in which we are instructed to not be afraid. To not be afraid in the dark night, or in the desert wilderness, or in the chaotic storm in the deep seas. Just as the angel Gabriel showed up in front of Mary that day to assure her that she had nothing to be afraid of, God shows up in our lives to comfort and console us, to remind us that we have nothing that we are to be afraid of or to fear. The third point that I wanted us to discuss from this passage is when the angel Gabriel says, "Nothing is impossible with God." After the angel Gabriel had not only delivered God's message to Mary regarding this unfeasible pregnancy within our human standards, Gabriel then recounts Elizabeth's conception after she had been previously deemed as barren. Gabriel concludes by saying, "See, nothing is impossible with God." Again, this is another central message of our faith and our relationship with God. All things are possible with God is a message that is echoed in other parts of Scripture. It informs us that when we face situations that seem to have no solution or end in sight, or when we encounter difficulties that seem completely impossible to our human minds and our earthly standards, we are reminded that nothing is impossible with God. Mary meets us here on this fourth Sunday of our Advent journey with these three profound messages and truths for us. Those three messages being that we are favored, that we are to rejoice. There is nothing for us to be afraid of, and that all things are possible with God. Our ability to have genuine faith and trust in these three messages is what allows the words, "Let it be," to easily roll through our mouths. Without any sort of analysis of best and worst case scenarios or any sort of negotiations on our behalf. Several years ago, when I was living in Wilmington, North Carolina, I worked at a drug and alcohol treatment facility. And the treatment facility also had a methadone clinic attached to it. So many of the patients that we saw and treated were former heroin users, and they were receiving the methadone so that they could wean themselves off of the heroin. During my time there, I was in charge of the intensive outpatient clients, which entailed teaching a three-hour-long class every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. These intensive outpatient classes were 16 weeks long, and they were closed sessions. So everyone started on the same week, and they ended on the same week. Many, in fact, most of the clients that we saw and treated were mandated. They were court-ordered to be there and to attend these intensive outpatient classes to avoid going to jail. So, as you might imagine, they didn't love being there. And they most certainly did not love the fact that class started at 8 o'clock in the morning, was 3 hours long, and was three times a week. So, most times you would see people nodding off. And maybe that was because they weren't used to being up that early, or maybe it was because of the methadone they had just received that was making them drowsy. Dare I say, the content of that class wasn't stimulating enough. But there was one group in particular that I distinctly remember, and there was one gentleman that I remember. He was a younger guy. He was closer to my age at the time, and he had been struggling with a very nasty addiction to hard drugs for several years. Throughout the classes, you could tell that he was just going through the motions. He was just doing what he had to do to not go to jail. He was somewhat obstinate. He was never rude, but he was just not fully engaged in the class. At one point during that 16-week program, I decided to do some music therapy with this group. So we listened to different genres of music, and we would discuss the lyrics, and then we decided that we were going to start playing some music. So we had a couple people playing the guitar, we had someone using the tambourine, and we had a couple of other small instruments, like the cowbell. And everyone would sing. One of the songs that we would play together was Let It Be by the Beatles. When I started the music component with this group of individuals, everyone perked up and they were fully engaged in the class, including the young, obstinate gentleman that I described to you earlier. At that point, he became fully engaged, and he was one of the individuals that played the guitar. And I remember watching that young man play the guitar and sing the words to Let It Be. And when he did, he played and he sang with so much emotion and with so much passion. You could tell that every word in that song spoke to his soul and that he was finally letting go of whatever it was that he was carrying with him for so long. The best part of that whole experience is that that group of individuals continued to practice this song, and they learned 4 other songs. And they performed those 5 songs on stage at a huge festival in Wilmington. So to see them up there performing this music with so much heart and passion was absolutely beautiful, and it was inspiring to see the transformation in their lives. In this next week, I encourage you all to listen to this Beatles song, Let It Be. And not only because we can all benefit from having some Beatles tunes in our lives, but to see how it speaks to your soul. During those times in our lives when we face situations that seem impossible, like there is no solution in sight, Mother Mary comes to us with words of wisdom. No matter what situations we face in life, Mother Mary comes to each of us. And on this day in particular, Mother Mary comes to us whispering, "Rejoice, favored one. You have nothing to be afraid of, and nothing is impossible with God." May we find trust in these words of wisdom, and may that trust resonate deep within our souls so that the words "Let it be" can easily roll through our lips. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.